Graphic Audio presents Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator by Ido Van Belkom. Copyright 2007, Ido Van Belkom. Performed by David Coyne and the Graphic Audio Players. Episode 6, Just in Time.
Mark Dalton spent two more days in Collingwood driving cast and crew around to different locations in the production company van, and using his rig to move the wind machines twice. When the production was done with the machines and the police were finished asking him questions about the assistant director who tried to kill him, Mark was paid by the production company's accountant for his time on the set. The administrative people were also very careful to get the correct spelling of his name, so they would get it right in the movie's closing credits. He would be listed as one of the film's four drivers, which would make the video a neat thing to have, even though it hadn't starred Shannon Tweed. As Mark cruised down Highway 400 toward Toronto and the downtown studio where he was to deliver the wind machines for a CBC production of Shakespeare's The Tempest, he fished his cell phone out of his jacket pocket and called up his dispatcher, Bud. He'd be finished with the load by 5 that afternoon, and it would be nice to have a new load to wake up to.
Yellow.
Don't you say dispatch anymore?
Dispatch? Who the hell are you?
It's Mark, Bud. Mark Dalton.
What do you want, Dalton?
I'm coming into Toronto tonight, and I'm looking for something for tomorrow morning.
What's the matter? Parking brake not working on your rig?
If I stay too long in the city, I might be tempted to visit my ex-wife. And that's just more trouble than it's worth.
Sorry, Dalton. I ain't got nothing for tomorrow or the day after. And the load I have for Thursday was already snapped up. Call me tomorrow, see what I have then.
Okay, talk to you later.
Fucking idiot.
Mark was not looking forward to spending a couple of days in Toronto. Jokes about his wife aside, Toronto was a tough place to find somewhere to park a rig, and an even tougher place in which to drive one. He was sure he'd be able to find something to do, but he just didn't like the idea of sitting and waiting around when hundreds or maybe even thousands of loads were heading out of Toronto, and none of them were hooked up to the back of his rig. As he neared the city, Mark was lucky to hit the 401 in the middle of the afternoon when the traffic wasn't too bad. He drove east across the top of the city to the Don Valley Parkway and took that south. After he got off at the bottom of the DVP near the lake, it took him an hour to find the film studio in an area that seemed to be littered with what looked like bombed-out factories and warehouses. However, once he'd found the place, he was done in less than 20 minutes. He headed back up the DVP and went east again on the 401, on his way to Scarborough. He checked into the nearby Days Inn, where a lot of truckers spent the night. After he brought his stuff up to his room, he headed down to the coffee shop for a sandwich and a coffee. As he entered the shop, he saw several familiar faces, including that of Johnny Jones, a driver in his early 20s that Mark had helped get his first rig. The young man didn't look too well, with an empty coffee cup and an ashtray full of cigarette butts sitting on the table in front of him.
Hey, Johnny Jones, how goes the battle?
Shitty.
Let me get something to eat. I'll be right with you.
Mark bought an egg salad sandwich, just like Benny Cooperman, one of his favorite literary detectives, always ordered, and a couple of coffees for him and Johnny.
You look terrible. What's going on?
I've been working for JJ&G for 6 months now, and everything had been okay, you know?
Already, Mark didn't like where this was headed. He'd never driven for JJ&G, but he'd heard plenty of stories from other drivers. They were one of those companies that had gotten big quickly, on the backs of a lot of naive and unsuspecting drivers.
And sometimes they charged me a little more here and there, but, you know, they always had a good load for me. I thought I was doing pretty good by them.
So what happened?
My last trip out was 15 days. I went from Toronto to San Francisco to Vancouver to Edmonton, back to Vancouver, again to Edmonton, and then on into Toronto. When I got back, I handed in all my bills of lading into the office at one time. This month, their check arrived, and it didn't have payment for the trip west to Vancouver or the second trip into Edmonton.
What did they say happened?
Well, they said they don't have the bills of lading for those loads. I don't know how that can be. I handed them all in at one time. And they said they're looking for them, but who knows if they'll ever find them. And now I want to take on a new load, but I really can't afford to. I'm already out $6,000, and if I take on another job with this company and they stiff me again, I could be $10,000 in the hole. And if I don't take another load for JJ&G, I doubt I'll ever see any part of that $6,000 they owe me.
It was a tough spot for a young guy to be in. Hell, for anybody to be in. And it was a shame, too. since here was a nice young kid ready to work hard to make a living, but some black-hearted bean counter figures it's more important to keep the books looking good than to treat his operators fairly.
I got a mortgage, a kid on the way, and a wife that's this close to walking out the door.
What about your rig?
How many payments do they let you miss before they take it away from you?
Mark closed his eyes and shook his head. Most companies with trucks on the road were good, reputable firms that paid on time and showed a little respect for their drivers. And then there were these other companies. Companies that didn't think twice about pulling the rug out from under some young guy who's hardly put any rubber on the road. And they got away with it more often than not because they held all the cards. They had the work. They held the money. And all the operator had was a need to provide for himself and his family, which more often than not forced him to take whatever crumbs the company decided to give him.
What am I gonna do, Mark? What am I gonna do?
I don't know. Give me some time and maybe I'll think of something. You're not the first owner-operator this has ever happened to, and you know you won't be the last either. And that's what really sucks about this whole thing.
Stuff like this ever happen to you?
Early on, plenty of times, yeah.
So what happened?
You either get smart or find another job. I guess I got smart.
No, I mean what happened when you got screwed?
Oh, well, it happened a different way each time. Even though I got burned more than a few times, at least I can say I was never cheated the same way twice. Not too many can say that. When I first started driving, right after I got divorced from my wife, I was eager for any kind of steady work I could find. I took on a bunch of loads from Toronto to Chicago and back again a couple of times a week. I thought I was doing great, until I realized that because I was being paid by the book rate, I was getting ripped off big time.
Why is that?
Well, from the plant in Scarborough to the destination in Chicago was 591 miles on the hub. But the book says Toronto to Chicago is 490 miles. After you've done five trips, you've given the company one free ride.
So how did that one end?
I quit that company, found some other loads.
Johnny looked disappointed. Mark couldn't blame him. That sort of solution wasn't going to help him any.
Another time, a company I was carrying for put out the word that they were looking for loads. So I put them in touch with a broker I knew. After they got in touch with each other, the company did a credit check on the broker. And everything looked okay. They started taking on loads and everyone was happy. But a few months later, this broker went bankrupt. These things happen in this business. But this company starts charging me 5% and 6% on my loads to repay them the money they lost dealing with this broker.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Just because I knew this guy and I put the two of them together, the company figures I should be on the hook for the loss.
So what'd you do?
Hired a lawyer and sued the bastards.
And got your money back?
No. This lawyer was a bigger crook than the trucking company was. He just took my money, promised he'd take care of it, and never did a damn thing for me. I found out a few years later he'd been disbarred by the Law Society. Felt good to hear it, but it really didn't help me any. I never did see any of that money.
So I guess a lawyer's no solution.
It sure isn't. Even if you win, you lose, since it'll cost you twice as much in legal fees to take the cheaters to court.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful or anything, Mark, because you've been a big help to me, getting me on the road and everything, but all you're telling me is bad stuff that happened to you, and none of it is going to help me. Do you have any ideas about what I should do or not?
Yeah, I got an idea.
They took their coffees over to the payphone, and Johnny called his broker at JJ&G.
Hey, Tony, how's it going? This is Johnny Jones. Yeah, have you had any luck finding those missing bills of lading? I know you're busy, and I appreciate the fact that you're still looking for them, but I could really use the money. Well, I know you can't pay me until you find them, but you know, I did hand them in to you.
Mark thought he'd be fine just listening to one side of the conversation, but he found that he wasn't. He had to hear both sides of the conversation, so he got close to Johnny and pressed an ear up to the receiver.
You say you handed in the bills of lading, but I haven't been able to find them. I'd like to take your word on it, Johnny, but I have to have the paperwork before I can pay.
Johnny was holding a hand over the phone whenever Tony was talking, so Mark could instruct him during the call.
Ask him for another load.
All right. If you say you're still looking for him, I guess I'm just going to have to trust you on it. In the meantime, I sure could use another load.
That's what I like about you. Not only are you loyal, but you're hard-working, too. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a primo load this time, complete with an on-time bonus.
Listening to this Tony talk, Mark wondered how he was able to sound like an insurance salesman when he was only handing out loads. Johnny took his hand away from the phone and spoke into the mouthpiece.
What's the load?
Broccoli. You go down to Florida, bring it back by next Tuesday, you'll be rolling in dough.
Nah, it's too far and not time-sensitive enough.
But won't broccoli go bad?
It's not enough.
I was hoping for better.
What do you mean? That's a good load.
Tell him you have a phobia about broccoli because you were forced to eat it as a child.
I kind of have a phobia about broccoli. I was forced to eat it when I was younger. Don't you have anything else?
All right. I shouldn't do this, since these kinds of loads usually go to more senior drivers, but I know you're in a bind, and I want to help you out. I got a load of car parts. It needs to be picked up in Flint and delivered to GM in Oshawa Friday morning. If you think you can get to Flint and back by 11 a.m. Friday, you can have a load.
Bingo.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sounds great. All right, so what do we do now?
We go to Flint.
But I thought we'd go in the morning. I got till Friday morning to be back in Oshawa.
For what I've got in mind, we're gonna need every extra minute we can spare.
Working as a team, Mark and Johnny had no trouble getting to Flint in time to pick up the load and turn it back around for Oshawa. They kept the bill of lading taped to the dash of Johnny's Freightliner, neither one of them letting it out of their sight the whole trip. Mark found the trip more relaxing than it should have been. Even though they would soon be taking on some risky business when they got to Oshawa, the company of another driver, someone to talk to over the miles, was a nice change of pace from driving on his own week after week.
Have you always been a truck driver?
Me? No. I used to be a private investigator.
No kidding. Just like Jim Rockford or Thomas Magnum.
Sort of like that.
Did you carry a gun?
Nope. And I never needed one either.
Ever work any big cases?
It depends on what you consider to be a big case. I did a lot of surveillance work. You know, guys wanting to know if their wives are cheating on them. Or insurance companies wanting proof that some guy claiming he's got a bad back is really hurting or just trying to milk the system.
You caught guys like that?
Oh yeah, plenty. See, most guys who figure they can cheat the system already think they're too smart to get caught. I remember this one guy who, he said he hurt his back working on a loading dock. He went around a corner with a box in his hand, lets out this yell, and then he comes back around the corner all hunched over and saying he can't straighten up anymore.
How'd you catch him?
He was stupid. After 3 years, he's awarded this big payout. But after receiving the judgment and before getting the check, I followed him one Sunday to a soccer field. I thought he was just going out to watch the game. But imagine my surprise when he suited up for one of the teams. I wrapped my camera in the Sunday paper and taped him scoring a goal and being tackled by all his teammates. The insurance company showed the tape to a judge, and the guy was arrested for fraud while I got a five-figure bonus.
Why did you get out of the detective business?
A man came into my office one day and said he thought his wife was cheating on him. He'd had a feeling she was losing interest in him for a while, and he figured it was because he was fat. When their sex together started getting tired, the guy came to me. I took the case, followed the woman for a week, and she eventually met someone at a local motel.
Yeah, so?
So I managed to set up my camera in an open window and taped the woman having sex with her new lover.
Oh, man. You must have got some pretty hot stuff over the years.
Yeah. Except the lover this woman was with just happened to be my wife.
Oh, Mark, man, I'm sorry, I didn't...
It's okay, man. Don't worry about it. See, I was spending so much time watching other guys cheat on their wives, I wasn't paying enough attention to the woman I was leaving home every night. I don't blame her for what she did, but I would have appreciated her just telling me it was over so we could go our separate ways.
That when you became a driver?
Yeah. Sold everything I owned, bought a rig, and headed out to the open road.
Do you still do any detective work?
Well, let's just say I help people when they need it.
Gotcha.
By the time Friday morning rolled around, they were in position and ready to place the call. Mark offered Johnny the use of his cell phone, but Johnny wanted to do this on his own cell, just in case things went wrong and there'd be some record of Mark's involvement through the phone company. Mark appreciated Johnny's concern and had a feeling that after this episode was over, he'd be a lot better able to take care of himself than he had been before.
Hi, Tony. This is Johnny.
Hey. How's it going?
Well, not so good.
What's wrong? Didn't you get the load?
Mark was listening in on the cell and was delighted to hear there was some real panic in Tony's voice.
I got the load all right, but I can't deliver it.
What do you mean you can't deliver it?
My truck's broke down, and, well, I don't have any money to get it fixed right now.
No problem, Johnny. I'll send another truck to take the load.
What should I do?
Say yes and hang up.
Yeah, sure, Tony. Okay, that'd be good.
Wait until he realizes he hasn't got a clue where you are.
Yeah.
A few minutes later, Johnny's cell phone rang.
Johnny Jones.
Johnny, this is Tony again. I can't send a truck if I don't know where you are, buddy. Where are you?
Mark was ready to tell him what to say, but Johnny was beginning to get the hang of it.
Let me check. Somewhere between Flint and Toronto.
Okay, cut the funny stuff. I need to send a truck right away if it's gonna make it into Oshawa on time.
I'm not telling you where I am, Tony.
Why not? What's going on?
This load's not going into Oshawa until I get paid for those missing loads.
Come on, Johnny! You know we're still looking for those bills of lading. There are papers all over this office, and finding your bills is gonna take some time. You deliver those parts, and I promise you I'll do my best to find the papers on the missing loads.
How long have you been looking for the bills already?
Including today?
Yeah.
2, 5 days.
Mark was shocked by the number. Obviously, no one was looking for anything in the JJ&G offices.
And you're sure you submitted all the bills of lading together at the same time?
Yeah, they were all stapled together.
Tell him no way and hang up.
I'll deliver the load when I get paid. What do we do now?
We wait.
As they waited for Tony to call back, Johnny started getting nervous. Mark offered to buy Johnny a coffee, hoping that getting out of their truck and stretching their legs for a while would do them some good.
But what if he calls while we're out of the truck?
That's why we'll take a cell phone with us.
Oh, yeah, right.
They walked the block to the coffee shop and back to the truck without getting a call.
What if he doesn't call?
Don't worry, he'll call.
How can you be so sure?
Mark climbed back into the Freightliner and made himself comfortable before he answered the question.
See, his first offer to you was for a load of broccoli. Well, sure, vegetables have to be in food terminals and then onto stores before they go bad, but broccoli's not a valuable enough load for what we're trying to do.
What?
Okay, so the broccoli goes bad. The entire load is maybe worth $6,000-$7,000. And that's about as much as they owe you on the missing bills of laden. So even if you hold on to the load until the cows come home, they're still going to break even. So you don't really hold much of a hand over them.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
Now, a load of car parts like we have now is probably worth $100,000, but that's not even the half of it. Most car plants work on a just-in-time basis. So if they want these parts at the plant at 11 Friday morning, they're probably going to be putting them into cars by about 2 in the afternoon. If you're late or don't deliver on time for whatever reason, they might have to stop the line. And the cost of that is something like $110,000 for each hour a car is not being spit out at the end of the line. Funny to you, but you just have to know that Tony's sweating buckets right about now. Any foul-up in delivery puts his contract with General Motors in jeopardy. Hell, if GM catches wind of a problem like this, they might pull their contract with the carrier. And these contracts are worth millions. So after Tony gets tired of trying to figure out a way to get the load delivered without paying you, he'll be calling.
What if I just don't answer it?
No, we want to talk to him. Just let it ring a good long time.
Hey, Johnny. You scared me there for a minute. I didn't think you were going to pick up the phone.
What do you want?
Mark nodded approvingly, knowing that this was the last time Johnny would ever be caught up in a mess like this.
We went through the office with a fine-tooth comb and we found your bills of lading.
Really?
Yeah, they're under a bunch of photocopies nobody bothered to check, so you'll be getting your money the next pay period.
That's not good enough, Tony. My truck's broke bad. I need the money now.
Okay. I don't usually do this, but I'll see if I can pull some strings and get you your money by the end of this week.
Not gonna do it, Tony. I need it right away. And I want to be paid for the load I got on right now, too.
What?
I want the money for this load. See, I can't be sure you're not going to just stiff me again on this load. And the truth is, I don't trust you anymore, Tony.
Absolutely not. I can't pay you for a load you haven't delivered yet. We don't work that way in this business.
But I delivered the loads for you and you didn't pay me. I don't work that way in this business.
If you don't deliver this load by 11 this morning, you won't be working for JJ&G again.
Can you put that in writing, Tony? See, I have no intention of driving for you anymore.
Or any other company either.
Yeah, I doubt you've got that much pull, Tony. Besides, have you taken a look at truck news lately? There's all kinds of companies looking for drivers. And I bet they all pay on time, too.
You son of a bitch, cocksucker, son of a piece of shit!
Are you finished there, Tony? You pay me for the missing loads and for the one I have now, and that will be the end of our dealings. Okay?
Fine.
A certified check, right?
You son of...
Hello?
Fine.
Fine what?
A certified check.
Thank you. You can deliver it to my house, and tell my wife to call me when she has it.
Johnny looked over at Mark, and then burst out laughing. An hour later, Johnny's cell phone rang again. It was Johnny's wife.
Johnny, you'll never believe it.
Let me guess. A man came by and gave you a check for $9,000.
Almost that much. $8,450.
Johnny shook his head. Man. Tony was still cutting him short by $400.
Is it a certified check?
Yes.
Okay, now be careful with it. Or better yet, just take it to the bank and deposit it right away.
We can make the truck payments and we can settle our debts and finish off the baby's room. How did you manage it?
Well, let's just say I got some help from a friend.
Johnny gave Mark a thank you smile, and Mark felt pretty good about himself. He leaned back and relaxed while Johnny finished up celebrating with his wife.
She's happy.
Sounds like it.
Johnny turned the key, waited a few moments, then started up his rig. They were just inside the gates to the GM plant, parked out of the way on the side of the access road.
What time is it?
10:15.
What time do you think we'll reach the loading dock?
10:20 be my guess. Maybe even earlier.
Be sure to look for the next episode of Mark Dalton, Owner Operator. In September, episode 7 appears in Eagles number 11, Rogue Angel number 6, Stony Man number 89, and The Destroyer number 110.
Can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for? Just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net.